Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Hi, everyone. George here with two quick show announcements. If you're in New York, you can see me do an hour of stand-up comedy at Littlefield in Brooklyn on May 22nd, and you can find tickets at littlefieldnyc.com or in my Instagram bio. And also, if you're in LA, we have a very exciting announcement, which is that we are doing a Stradiolab live show in Los Angeles at the Bourbon Room on Tuesday, May 28th. It's the day after Memorial Day weekend. Everyone's going to be back from vacation. We're trying to get some very exciting guests. So I would honestly get tickets before they are announced because it is going to be a bloodbath. And while I'm here, I also want to say that my audio is bad in the beginning of this episode for truly like 1 minute. So if you hear it and you're like, what the hell? I promise if you power through, it gets better almost immediately. So that's it for now. Enjoy the show. Bye.
Podcast starts now.
Beep, beep, beep. Oh my God. You know what that is? It's the that time thing alarm. We are doing, for the first time in probably over a year, maybe 2 years, we are doing that time thing. Sam, do you want to explain what that time thing is?
So for new listeners that don't know, that time thing is something that we have branded and in fact invented, which is when we record something at a different time than the original recording. You know, originally, the history of that time thing is deep and rich. And the first one was actually when we were very unfunny in an intro and said, well, this is unacceptable.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We actually had recorded a full intro and then listened back to it and said, if this is released, our careers are quite literally over with a capital O.
Yeah.
We are going to be put in director jail, which is a term I recently learned from my friend Fran, which is when a director makes a movie that is so bad that they are put in director jail and no longer allowed to make films. Have you heard of this?
I have not heard of this, but I think as a podcaster, it would be an honor.
Podcaster
to...
jail, of course.
I mean, if they were to throw us in director jail, I said, well, who died and made me king? I'd say, thank you, sir.
That's the eternal question is like, would you rather have such a huge flop that at the very least, you know, a few decades later, it could come back as a camp classic? Or would you rather just have like a series of completely mediocre, forgettable works?
I'm going with series of mediocre, forgettable works.
And guess what? Same, because I need to pay my rent.
And I also like don't want, like, again, I cannot have the pressure of like, people having that strong of an opinion that is mixed on me. Like,
yeah,
I'm not in a place where people can like be like, this is so fucking bad, he should jump off a cliff. And then being like, no, it's so fucking bad, he should jump off a cliff, which makes it art, which makes it beautiful.
Yeah. It's funny. Like if I was being like, oh, this is so bad, it's good about something, I wouldn't think twice about it. I wouldn't consider that an insult. And I would actually be like, oh, why isn't the artist embracing the fact that everyone says that she's so bad, it's good? But then if someone did that to me, I would be in tears pretty much 24/7.
This is a great... Okay. this is a great question.
Yes.
If you had directed the feature film Madam Web, how would you feel right now?
Okay. That is genuinely a great question. I mean, I would feel bad, I think. I would feel bad.
Yeah, I think I would feel bad.
And
as well.
it would not be a solace that two gay podcasters ironically like it and did a Patreon episode about it. I would actually not like that at all.
Yeah, and I think where it would really feel bad is like you would, it's sort of like being like having, imagine you're at a party and you're like meeting a bunch of people you don't know and they're like, oh, what do you do? And you're like, oh, I'm a director. And they're like, oh, what have you directed? Anything I know? And you'd have to be like, I directed Madam Web. And yeah. And if they're like, even if they are like, oh, that's so funny. I hear people are like really ironically liking it. I'd be like, yeah, no, I like that, I guess. But like, it's not really what I wanted for people to like ironically like it. I think I would feel like, I would also be afraid to even say it because it's like, what if they're not the people that, like, if they're not gay guys on the internet, they're not going to be like, oh, I hear people are ironically liking it. They're just be like, well, that's good that you're getting yourself out there. Like,
but do you think, I mean, Madam Web is an extreme example because it did truly like make headlines for how much of a flop it was. But I think for the average flop, I just think the average person would be just impressed that you directed a Marvel movie.
That's true. No, that's a good point.
And I think ultimately, if you're talking to someone, unless you're literally talking to Steven Spielberg, but if you're talking to a friend from college, okay, let's say you went to Penn State and you directed Madam Web and your friend from college works as a senior manager of operations at a mid-sized recruiting firm. And you're talking at a party, I don't know. I think I would still be like pretty proud of the fact that I directed a Marvel movie.
Well, yeah, I guess the problem is when you are in the space of directing Marvel movies, you consider your peers people who direct Marvel movies. You're not flying out to Cleveland to go to a dinner party. You're in Los Angeles, California, going to the big director's party in the hills.
Yeah, so I guess the answer then would be if you feel insecure about the fact that your Marvel movie flopped, take a quick flight to Cleveland, spend a weekend in Cleveland, go around to various office parties of mid-sized companies, talk to them about how you directed a Marvel movie. You'll get the confidence boost you need. You come back ready for your next project. And guess what? This is it's going to be your reputation era. You can do a new project that is, you know, finally you can leave the shackles of the entertainment machine and make a quiet, contemplative movie about PTSD and the Iraq War.
Yeah, you know, and I honestly think your film should be about the people you met at the office's parties in Cleveland. And yeah. It should be a really grounded view of them and a really empathetic view of, you know, someone who works in HR at a weird corporate place in Cleveland.
Where are the movies about normal people anymore?
I mean, what literally. A genius sentence. Yes. Literally, where are they? I mean, you don't think they have a story to tell? Oh, I'm sorry. You don't think normal people have a story to tell?
So you have to be Madam Web to get a movie made about you.
Oh,
you have to have half of a superpower that you don't know how to use in order to even be considered for a film.
Am I hearing this properly? You have to have literal PTSD from the Iraq War or else no film is being made about you? We're rewarding people for being in the Iraq War.
For being in the Iraq War. That's interesting.
Huh. No, oh,
you had complex feelings about the Iraq War? Join the club. You know what I have complex feelings about? My relationship with my mother.
Yeah.
And where is my movie?
Oh, let me get... So you became Harley Quinn and you get a film made about you. That doesn't sit right with me.
Oh, that's interesting. I guess we should all just start murdering people left and right and maybe then we can get a reality show.
Oh. It's a disgusting culture that we take
part in. And it only happens in America. You know, you go to France, all the movies are about mothers.
And thank God. You know, normal people in France are celebrated.
Normal people in France are the president. Do you know who the president of France is? Some woman.
You know what she had for lunch today? A sandwich.
Not even, like, from Pret. Not even a gourmet sandwich that has, like, sort of aged prosciutto in it or something. She went to Pret and said, the caprese?
Yeah, and she said, you know what? I'll just get one of these pre-wrapped ones. Don't even, like, make a new one. And I celebrate her.
The other day I went to Whole Foods because it's across from my co-working space and I got lunch there. I got a wrap and a yogurt for less than $10. So I'm here to say inflation is over.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's huge news for everyone. Yeah,
you heard it here first.
Inflation's so over. I mean,
if you're planning on buying a house, now's the time. Because let me tell you something, lunch is less than $10 at Whole Foods.
Wow. And going into an election year, this must be huge.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when I said Biden has a chance. Biden has a fighting chance.
Ugh.
All right. Well, so might be time. Oh, well, I was going to say it might be time to go into the episode.
I mean, I guess it could be. I guess I just wanted to say, like, sort of, you know me, I wanted to mention that we're marinating it as well as doing that time thing.
Oh, yes. We are, of course, marinating it.
So that's a different thing. That time thing can be used for any time that we record something outside of the time that we're recording. Mm-hmm. But marinating is specifically before an interview when you are talking about the interview that's about to come. So yes. I wanted to sort of marinate for a second and mm-hmm. just be like, man, this today's episode, I mean, we talked with Hannah Pilkus. It was incredible.
Great comic. So funny. For years.
Been a fan for a while.
You know, she's part of this new generation, okay? And she grew up with the people that I was with, you know, in the 90s in Boston. But, you know, she's doing her own thing. It's different. It's different than what we used to do. But you know what? That's what it's all about, man.
That's what it's like, all about. And, you know, talking to her, I had a preconceived notion of her. I had a preconceived notion of her before she got here. But talking to her, she's fucking cool, man.
All right. So I guess without further ado, here's our episode with Hannah Pilkus.
Okay, please welcome to the podcast, Hannah Pilkus.
Hello.
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 I'm so happy to be here.
Wow. And you told me before that you actually can't sing. So that must have been really hard for you.
I can sing, but only in low register.
And Hannah, just by doing that, you now have injured yourself.
Yes, I have to get to the ER as quickly as possible. I have throat goblins and they're acting up.
Huh. You're in a lot of pain, but you're saying it was worth it because you wanted
it. It was worth it.
Oh, no.
Blood.
Wow.
That you have to do, because of your medical condition, you have to do special low register karaoke. Did I hear that right?
That's right. Some of my favorites are Pocketful of Sunshine. Oh, you go to play. And then I will do, of course, Bonnie Raitt, because Bonnie is typically pretty low register.
Huh.
Turn down the lights.
Maybe a Tracy Chapman.
Ooh, sure. Annie Lennox.
Annie Lennox.
Sure.
I've definitely found my queens of low register. I've had to desperate times call for desperate measures.
You know, it's funny because your speaking voice is not that low. And well, you jump down, down, down.
You think, but years ago, if you listen to my voicemail, I'm like, hey, it's Hannah, leave me a message.
So you've and had now, to sort of what's in the industry we call going Elizabeth Holmes. And you have, because of your medical
what
condition.
What we're doing is, it's crazy how quickly I can access this is the cornerstone.
You're so good at that.
You're so good at that. Amanda Seyfried, your move, sweetheart, because there is a new head bitch in town.
Oh, she killed it. Amanda Seyfried killed Theranos.
There was something so nice about that moment of everyone coming together and deciding we like her.
No, that was beautiful. And she earned it.
She earned it.
Yeah.
It's rare that that happens.
I will say
enough people are earning it these days.
Yeah. Well, especially. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Call me controversial, but.
So who's most not earning it?
Oh, this is actually a really good question. Who is most not earning it?
Who's most not earning it?
Oh, gosh, I mean, I have my thoughts, but how much do I want to divulge?
I know, because of course we could all work with these people, you know, at
next
the drop
week.
Of a hat.
I mean, I'm always in talks with Marvel.
So I can be working with anyone who isn't earning it currently.
What is the new Marvel? That's my question. Because now Marvel is
what is Marvel?
No. What is the new Marvel? Because now Marvel is flopping.
You First know. Of all, who is Marvel?
Who's the marvelous Miss Marvel?
Oh, that would be a fun twist on Marvel if they sort of swallowed up into their IP the marvelous Mrs. Maisel and did Marvel.
She's just a
Marvel.
Jewish stand-up with a cape.
Yeah, but played by a Christian woman.
Well, of course, I couldn't play her. Yeah, I mean, I converted. So I couldn't play
Congrats
the marvelous.
On that, by the way.
it's weird that when I got on the pod, no one congratulated me on converting to Judaism.
Yeah,
Wait, did you convert to Judaism?
I sure did, and thank you for the congratulations.
That is so amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's more
Basil.
Than Rachel Brosnahan has done.
And Rachel Brosnahan is not Jewish, right?
Yeah.
That tends to be the...
But I think she should convert to...
So that she can... The Marvelous Mrs. Marvel.
Well, the Marvelous Mrs. Marvel.
Yeah.
But George, I think you were about to get into one of your groundbreaking cultural critiques.
Which is what? Oh, well, Marvel is no longer the head honcho. To me,
Does it stand in our culture at this point in time?
It's in decline, just like American Empire.
Of course.
Is this because of Madame Web that you're saying this?
I'm going to stop you right there.
Madame Web saved it.
Madame Web is the best film in the
Madame
entire...
Madame Web is the best thing they've done in a decade.
That is true.
I mean, that is literally true. It is the first Marvel movie I've seen since Black Panther 1. And Sam and I are on record as Madame Web stands. So
it's okay. It's so funny to hear you say it's in decline when you've seen two Marvel films in 10 years.
Well, and I
but I hear you.
Tracking.
But what does that say? What does that say about? But
I think the new Marvel is, say it with me, Mattel.
Mattel.
That is the new thing to be is like Margot Robbie, making a movie about hit clips.
Sure. Mm. Well, Margot Robbie, I just saw, is making a Monopoly film. Is that under the Mattel umbrella? Or are we just sort of like games and toys at
I
large?
Thought Margot Robbie was making a Sims film.
She's also doing that. All of that.
I can't wait for sexy Simlish.
By the way, when I say Mattel, I mean all games. I don't have time. I don't have time to figure out
which ones. You're talking Trouble. You're talking Twister.
No, and thank you. I'm like, when I'm talking Marvel, I'm also talking all superheroes.
Oh,
I'm talking
sure.
Batman. I'm talking, I don't care.
Oh, by the way,
well, riddle me this. Yeah. Is Marvel Ant-Man?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, literally, yes.
Well, that's the one. I stan Ant-Man.
You stan Ant-Man?
I just think Paul Rudd is so hot.
Sure.
And that is pretty straight up.
Wow.
But
it's just
you're
like,
learning a lot.
I think you're maybe the only person on Earth
who's shouting out Ant-Man.
Who's like, no, that Ant-Man, though, that's the one I care about.
That's some hard-hitting comedy.
I'm so curious.
You know what I think, though? I think that 85% of movies I've seen, it just depends on the mood I was in that day.
Mm.
Like, I think I had like a really fun coffee drink and ketchup before, and I was like, this movie's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I had that with... the Noah Baumbach film, I believe it's called While We're Young. I saw it in theaters. Speaking of Amanda Seyfried, she plays an ice cream startup founder named Darby. I still remember that.
She loves to be startup owners.
That's actually, she did that movie as research to play Elizabeth Holmes.
Of course, yeah. Always ahead.
She was sort of working on The Voice. It kept going in and out during it, and Noah Baumbach kept saying, what the actual hell are you doing?
Sorry, I'm...
I have to prepare. But I remember that movie. I remember loving that movie and being like, wow, like Noah Baumbach really is a Lawler at the end of the day. Like people say he's so self-serious, but he can crack a joke. And then I watched it again on a day when I was in a less good mood, and I was like, this is the worst fucking movie I've seen in my entire life.
I know that feeling, and that's how I feel when I watch movies on planes as well. I'm weeping regardless of the genre. You know, I mean, could be watching New York One.
I am on record as having...
Always on flights.
Yes.
I watched The Bear on a flight and cried.
Mm, yeah.
Wow.
I think, don't people cry at The Bear?
Wait, did I say The Bear?
You did. Yeah. You meant The Whale.
I meant The Whale.
Okay.
The Whale is George's favorite film.
Sorry. The Bear, yes, we all agree, is good and we're on board. That's not what I'm talking
about. Yes, 100%.
I meant
and it makes
the
me
whale.
Weep all the time. The Whale. Okay. what about the squid and the whale?
Oh, talk about Noah Baumbach. And now we're back.
Talk about it.
Talk about him.
Yes.
Okay, but I do want to go back to who is not earning it.
Yeah, this is tough. I am really genuinely trying to think about who is not earning it. And it does. I've got one.
Yes, who?
Mm.
Who's the one who is the daughter of Maya Hawke?
I completely agree. Maya Hawke is not earning it.
And I think, like, I'm down for her to be earning it in 5 years or whatever. But right now, I'm sort of like, you're acting like you're earning it in a way that is not earned.
Sure.
And even like doing like a music career also, I'm like,
mm-hmm. Pick a side.
You can't not earn two different genres of entertainment.
Right. Like Willow Smith is like, I'm a musician.
And she's earning it.
She's earning it.
She has been putting in the work since she was 10 years old.
That's true. She put up a video recently where it's just her playing different instruments. I've never been more turned on in my life. She's extraordinary. She's earning it.
She's earning it.
Yeah. You know who I think is not? Lily Collins.
I 100% agree. She's not earning it.
This is tough for me because
you big Emily in Paris.
I'm a big Emily in Paris, Dan. And yeah. I think
I've watched it all is the thing.
I haven't. I got so mad I had to stop.
What was the visceral response?
I said, I live one life.
And this is how
I'm not spending it watching Emily in Paris.
You know what?
I already watch In Just Like That. I can't also watch Emily in Paris.
I do think we're only allowed like three of those. And unfortunately, I watched Love is Blind and Love Island. And my rule is that I have to make material about it. Otherwise, it's for nothing.
So you're sort of emotionally tax deducting it.
That's exactly right. So I can write it off. Yeah. I can write it off later.
Emotional tax deduction is like a really, really fruitful sort of idea. What would that look like to the IRS? Because I'm sort of like, what would it look like? What is a way to justify doing things that are bad for you? Like, what would that look like in practice?
90% of my lifestyle is like being irresponsible and being like, but it's okay because I kind of have to be in order to have something to talk about.
Well, totally. I feel like as a comedian, I'm just like a chronic stewer and overthinker. And I'm like, all these maladaptive bad things I do, it's just to get me to the next show.
It's like, emotionally tax deductible.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
So would you say that's emotionally tax deductible or sort of like intellectually tax deductible? Like
you still feel bad.
Or do you
intellectually tax deductible is like, I think things you consume and watch. Emotionally tax deductible is like,
oh, experiences you have where you're like, I'm going to feel bad.
Yeah. Like, like this not sleeping or like having that fourth drink, you know, that's maybe more emotionally tax deductible, but part of the lifestyle.
Sue me. And I live the life.
Yeah. And artists have to suffer.
Artists must suffer.
And if you're an artist and you feel fulfilled and happy, you're literally,
you're not making art.
You're literally, guess who you are? Lily Collins.
Okay.
You're not earning it.
All right. Are you having a change of heart?
So my thing with Lily Collins is I agree. Obviously, I agree with you on a literal level that she's not earning it. But at this point in my Emily in Paris life, I'm so proud of her for just knowing her lines. Like I'm watching it and I'm like,
a lot of lines.
She literally
a lot
finished,
of lines.
She finished that sentence and then she made a little face more than I could have done.
I just can't fathom that at the end of season two, she still speaks no French.
Well,
I'm like, in what world? I feel like it's your responsibility as an expat to learn a little.
I mean, I agree, but don't you think the real Emily in the real world would also not know French at this point?
Absolutely. No, it's faithful to the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, I don't like that truth, you know?
Totally.
So that's my person, I think.
Okay. George, do you have a person? We've all pitched a person. We're all going down with the ship.
And I was going to work with her next week.
Can I say?
Well, we both have gigs with Lily Collins and Maya Hawke next week. And we're fucking blowing it for ourselves. So who are you going to blow?
Because I care about this pod more than anything in the goddamn world.
Yeah.
I'm worried about saying mine.
Oh, it's me.
it's LA-based comedian and actor Anna Pilkis. I just have never really gotten what her whole deal is.
and she's being shoved down my throat like she's literally on my podcast.
We get it. You're tall with your low-ass voice.
I'm like, having a low voice is not a personality.
It is.
No, mine, unfortunately, is the singer-songwriter Maggie Rogers.
Really?
Whoa.
Well, that sucks because I have a track with her coming out next week.
I knew.
It's called Live Like You Do.
I love
it. Oh, yeah. Live Like You Do.
And Just Like That is featuring it, I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Live Me Like You Do.
That's in her new album, The Ocean.
Wait, but I go into a little bit why you feel like she's not earning it.
I think she is a perfectly capable and talented singer. I am a little confused, and I have not listened to her new album. She also seems like a lovely person.
She's my best friend.
I actually feel so bad that all of us are mentioning women when I'm like, most men are not earning it, and yet here we are bringing down.
That's so true.
Three powerful white women in our industry.
Yeah.
So here's my challenge to everyone out there. Find a man who is not earning it.
Okay.
Was there a Nepo thing with Maggie Rogers? Because both of us kind of had a Nepo threat.
No, there's no Nepo. I'm literally just being mean. She was discovered by Pharrell at NYU. And then
I love that video.
It's such a good video.
I watched that for inspiration.
No, I actually, unfortunately, I think both of us kind of disagree with you, and we kind of stan her.
I love that. And I think that's necessary. And I think just like I disagreed about Emily in Paris, who I think is sort of...
I don't know if you disagree. You kind of supported the thought.
Yeah. Well, okay, but here, I guess my question is, who would you rather play Emily in Paris? Because to me, it's actually a perfect
Oh, it's perfect casting.
Casting, yeah. I mean,
well, I think my main issue is I don't think Emily in Paris should exist.
That's, and you know what? Maybe I'm more targeting that is a thing, massively popular phenomenon, more so than the person themselves.
Okay,
they are simply showing up, on their Apple boxes, action cut, checking the gate.
Okay, so see, my thing, and this is something I've sort of been working through for the past few years, I think I've maybe mentioned, is the reason I am pro Emily in Paris but anti most prestige TV is that I'm like, we need to move towards a place where there's lowbrow and highbrow and nothing in between, because we are rotting our brains with these fake prestige shows that pretend to be better than they actually are. And I'm like, I would rather spend 10 hours of my life watching Emily in Paris than invest in another streaming detective show where like it sort of asks more questions than it answers, and there's like one scene when someone cries and it makes some like heavy-handed point about, you know, the American dream.
I call it the biopic effect, where I'm like, you're fishing for an award, and I can see right through your bullshit.
Yes,
that's like someone on a first date, like leading with like the degrees they have. Like, I don't know, it just is a little too. It's smarmy. I agree. Yeah.
Do you know who isn't leading with her degrees? Emily in Paris. She's saying, I barely graduated middle school, and I will, and I'm reclaiming my time.
Well, as someone who, unfortunately, and despite all the odds, stands feud Capote versus the Swans.
Oh, yes.
I do have to argue for mid-TV that's mid-TV. Pretending it's prestige. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
In favor of it.
I'm kind of in favor of it.
Okay, but let me riddle me this. Do you remember the Nicole Kidman show where she lives in the biggest apartment in New York City with the very long coats?
Yes.
And by the way, I loved
that show.
Wait, what was
it
called?
You did? Because I feel like I knew the answer from episode one, and we talked about how our time is sacred, and when I waste it, I'm...
You know what, you're right.
My time is goddamn wasted. You better believe I'm pissed.
You know what I think was happening with me is I was trying to... You know, I'm glad you called me out on this. I think you are right that it's bad.
And you're welcome.
And I think what I was trying to do is I was trying to, you know... after the fact, emotionally deduct it, because I was like, well, there's no way I can accept that I wasted that time. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to say that wig was so funny that I'm glad I watched it for 10 hours.
Was.
And the coat was so long that had cultural value in and of itself. And
that's true.
You know what I mean?
It almost became a parody of itself in that way. And I can't believe that I'll never know people are wearing wigs on SNL, and that from moment one, frame one of that show, I knew she was wearing a wig.
It's actually crazy that SNL is better at wigs than all prestige television.
Anyone ever. Yeah.
Well, you know my theory on that. I think...
it's their real hair.
No, my big theory is that they do bad wigs on purpose so that people talk about the show.
Really?
That's my big conspiracy. And I'm fully...
You think someone's willing to like be shit on who did that job for PR?
It's like how headlines are purposefully like to make you enraged.
Sure. So you think Maestro did that nose on purpose?
Literally, it got the people talking.
That is true.
Yeah, but it didn't get him the Oscar. I really think... So I used to think this, and I feel like the more I meet people in entertainment and in Hollywood, the more I'm like... Oh, they are just all earnestly doing their best.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, it's sort of like
how it's easy to believe government conspiracy theories until you meet people that work in government and you're like, oh, you're like dumb.
I think about like someone like Madonna, where, you know, she has so many yes people around her. And I think that happens so much in the industry where everyone, like, it's like group mentality where they're like, yeah, this is perfect. And then you zoom out and realize like, you probably should have run it by people that aren't all inside.
Yes.
You
know? I was talking to someone who works in politics about the Biden campaign. And I was like... Mm. Regardless of the specifics.
Who is that?
Yeah. What, were you talking to Kamala?
Nancy Pelosi. Do you guys know her? We went to grad school together. She was almost kicked out, actually, but then she got a job in D.C.
Oh, that's cool.
She's been
there
ever since. Yeah, she wrote...
That's just such a great lesson.
Yeah, she...
Such an important lesson.
She wrote my recommendation letter for iHeart when we got acquired.
Oh, that's
She's been really
awesome.
Helpful, and I agree with all her politics. So...
But put that on record.
Yeah. Print it. New York Times.
Straight to the Times.
But I was like trying to figure out like, how is it that Biden is fucking it up so bad right now? And I was like so desperate for some left of center theory or something. And my friend was like, no, it's just he's surrounded by people that don't know any better. And that's how it is.
And he's 116. Well, and I don't know if you've tried to have like a really deep conversation with a grandparent, but like...
I actually have never even tried. I've said, I have one precious life and I'm not going to waste it trying to have a deep conversation with your old ass.
And send that to print.
To the New York fucking Times.
Call the Gazette.
Sam famously hates his grandparents.
My grandma's literally like, talk to me. And I'm like, no.
No, stop being selfish. You, I have one. You already lived your life. I have to go live mine.
I need to talk to my peers, and you aren't anywhere close to that.
Talk to Joe Biden.
Yeah, go fucking work for the Biden campaign and fucking party with Pelosi because you're a fucking old bitch.
Pelosi loves to party.
That's why she got kicked, almost got kicked out of grad school, but thank God she got the job in DC.
So many Four Locos. Pelosi loved a Four Loco. Yeah.
Oh. And see, this is why we can't, there's no communication in this country. You know, it's because people do not intergenerational.
Say more.
There needs to be more intergenerational exchange of ideas. Otherwise, what we get is, you know, Joe Biden and then us podcasting. What's more, are we
there's
helping?
Only two camps.
There's only two camps. Everyone under, you know, 40 is podcasting, and everyone over 40 is sending billions of dollars in military aid to Israel.
100%. And on Facebook all day long.
All day long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. Should we do our first segment?
I think it's actually time for that.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We are both dealing with such different issues in our day-to-day lives. You have a full-time job in Los Angeles. You've had to uproot your home. You have to figure out work-life balance. Meanwhile, I am a freelancer in New York City. How do I fit it all in one day? How do I create my own schedule? What am I, some boss lady in a film?
You know, it's so hard. You have to be boss and employee. But you know what? We can't keep these things bottled up. You know, we need to let them out.
That's right. People all carry around different stressors, both big and small. And when you bottle them up, it can start to affect you negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
I'll tell you something. Therapy in the past for me has been just a place where once a week I can tell someone what I'm thinking of in a safe and enclosed space where no one can enter and ask me to send an email, because it is my time and it is my time for therapy. And everyone deserves that in all across this great nation.
Yeah. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and hey, suited for your schedule.
So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Stradio today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Stradio. Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Yay.
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 Hannah, our first segment is called Straight Shooters. And in this segment, we're going to ask you a series of rapid fire questions. It's basically this thing or this other thing to gauge your familiarity with and complicity in straight culture.
Great.
The only rule is you can't ask any follow up questions or we will cut your mic and make you go work for the Biden campaign.
And I'm gonna book a flight from here, Midtown, New York City, get there to LA and scare you. I'm gonna hide in your closet, and when you get home, I'm gonna come out and I'm gonna scare you.
You're gonna give me the super spooks? I mean, I'm fine if you just book me a flight from Burbank. I just ask that it's not LAX. Okay.
Ready. George, you kick us off, actually.
Okay, Hannah. Pan's Labyrinth or Franz Ferdinand?
Pan's Labyrinth.
Okay, Hannah, saying giddy up cowboy or saying, hey, what's up, I'm Troy?
Hey, what's up, I'm Troy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A sectional couch or that retinol, ouch.
That retinol, ouch.
Okay, being on a first name basis or being on Trading Spaces?
Being on Trading Spaces.
Yeah.
Without a single doubt.
Tipping 25% or gripping onto an airborne Clark Kent?
Gripping onto a newborn Clark Kent.
Sexy. Respecting your elders or expecting the welders to come at any minute?
Respecting your elders, Sam.
Rooting for the home
expecting
team.
Expecting the welder.
Rooting for the home team or commuting while listening to Teenage Dream?
Commuting while listening to Teenage Dream. Yeah. Sports can rot in hell.
Okay. This is a really good one, actually. Shiver me timbers or shiver your timbers?
Oh. Shiver me timbers.
Wow.
Wow.
Do you feel like you sort of learned from my responses?
So we rate each guest on a scale of 0 to 1,000 doves.
Yeah.
And to me, I actually thought that was a really good performance.
I thought that was an incredible performance.
Thank
there
you.
Was so much personality put into it. It wasn't just, I have to play. It was sort of like, no, I want to play.
And what I want, and I want to say something, and, you know, before we started the pod formally, I did tell you I'm a big, like, Jim Henson person. And I feel like there was a lot of, like, whimsy coded stuff in there, which I really appreciate. And it felt kind of catered to my sort of overall energy and demeanor.
Let me tell you something. When they make whimsy illegal, call me Dead Man Walking.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Jim Henson, I have to say, like, first of all, 944.
Why am I name dropping?
I think 944 doves. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Really
great.
Good performance.
Can I have that written
We'll send the transcript.
The notary is in the other room.
Oh,
yeah. We'll have them figure
it out.
I'm
not even nearby notary. They're always so hard to get.
You have to request an official transcript online, and then
perfect.
It goes through the registrar, but they will send it via mail.
Just make sure I know what my user ID is, because I'll have to, like, forget password.
And you have to use your alumni account.
Yeah.
Okay, famously didn't go to college, so sort of burned there. Yeah.
So punk rock.
Yeah, I thought, why not learn through living? And I was really afraid of being crippled financially.
No, that's a good fear to have.
It's more the...
I was sort of told, like, just take out as many loans as you can.
Right, it's
and,
infinite.
And, like, let it rip.
And money doesn't exist.
Yeah, just have fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I was told, I was told that if you do not get into an elite university, your life has no worth.
Did you go to an elite university?
You better believe
it. Sure did.
Well, okay.
And look at me now.
Live.
And look at me now in fucking Midtown, New York City.
Times Square, baby.
Times Square, baby.
George, you don't know this, I don't think, but the billboards behind you are all lit up. They are changing colors, and they are like, it is so funny. I really
so
feel
much.
Like
I'm waiting for the JoJo Siwa music video to
truly,
play.
It's very distracting. Like, and it's so, I feel like you're like our Times Square, like it's New Year's Eve.
Well, I do feel very
you're absolutely giving Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
But you need to be loaded.
And we are in the studio being like, so how is the energy down there in Times
Square
tonight?
Are you cold down there? Two more hours. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Coming up next, a sneak preview at season 16 of Emily in Paris and a performance from JoJo Siwa.
Performing, we got Moana, we got puppets, we got more.
Performing her new single, I'm Leaking. She'll be out in just a sec.
I'm loving how she's saying she's changing the paradigm. She's like, no one's ever done what I've done.
No,
I actually love it.
I want to go on the record as saying I have zero patience for anyone bullying JoJo Siwa. She
I get it.
I would say she is approximately I don't even know if she's literate. I think she is. She
can
she
you
has
imagine
never
spending
been
all of your childhood on Dance Moms? I'm
she,
like, where?
Wait, she was on Dance Moms?
That's,
no. that's where she
that's
comes from?
Where she comes from. Wow, Sam,
it's a
I'm
goddamn wonder that she's made an empire for herself when she was essentially like verbally berated by a
yes.
crazy person.
And by the way, verbally berated by a crazy person and maintained her joie de vivre, maintained her sense of wonder. I think she is one of our great American heroes. I
talk
imagine.
About whimsy.
I do think she could do with a little less joie.
and a little more de vivre.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. When I was in high school, I was pressured to study for the SAT, and I'm still recovering from that trauma. And yeah. JoJo Siwa yeah. was on television.
Imagine the trauma.
Was on television for 15 years, just being absolutely humiliated by adults around her. And
oh,
the fact
like,
that
what's her name would say stuff like, you with a bad haircut.
Yes.
Why'd your mom let you do that? Like, and then now go dance for 8 hours. Dance, huh.
now,
dance.
And now
I mean,
she's
awful.
Finally liberated, and she's going to get shit from gay guys on the internet? Are you kidding me?
Because she doesn't know who Gene Simmons is, even though she's dressed just like Gene Simmons.
Have some respect.
Let her do that.
I mean,
let her cosplay as Gene Simmons and not look him up.
I think this is a beautiful message, but I do think like she, it's not necessarily bullying as much as it's thoughtful critique. And I think she could bear to hear some thoughtful critique if she wants to move forward in her chosen career path of whatever it is she is.
We're in the Save the Last Dance. We're the Juilliard board and we're just helping her find her. Yeah.
Like you almost want to be like I want to like take her and be like, no, move like this. Like just a little.
Well, what do you want her to move like? I guess I'm just trying to paint a picture in my head.
Just like maybe like not like a cartoon character.
But I think that's what she's trying to do.
Thing.
I think she's pivoting.
Well, she's pivoting, but it's not like.
It still feels cartoon
still
to you.
It feels really cartoony.
But you know what it's feeling more like? It used to feel very like, you know, explosive rainbows. Like, what's the, like the ponies and
Lisa Frank.
Lisa Frank. It used to feel very Lisa Frank. And now it feels a little more like Rocko's Modern Life-y animation, a little darker, a little edgier. And I think I can be on board with that.
I think she's always going to be animation. And I think the challenge is going from children's Nickelodeon animation to adult animation. I think maybe at
she's
some
trying
point,
to get BoJack Horseman.
She's trying to get to BoJack Horseman. And I think she's still at, you know, a sort of SpongeBob level.
Sure.
Yeah,
no. I did watch the SpongeBob movie the other day and I actually really love it.
Yeah, no, I love the SpongeBob film.
Yeah, no notes here.
And let's stay on that for 20 to 30 minutes.
And honey, we could. And that's one thing that is a curse about our this career path of podcaster is if someone says the SpongeBob movie, we literally will be like, okay, we'll talk about
drop
the SpongeBob
everything.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually really proud of us for not getting more into Madam Web before because there was a part of me that was like,
we were cusp.
I was literally hold my calls.
Because we
let's go to a cafe, not even on the pod, and let's just dig
in. We've been trying to talk about it less because obviously it came out now months ago.
Right. It's certainly not relevant anymore.
And we cannot stop. Yeah. Whenever it comes up, we're like, but seriously.
When someone's already hosted SNL, you have to move on.
Of course.
That's
but also,
rule.
I mean, we talk about this, I think maybe is related to emotional.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I think that you only get so many things that you can like be ironically annoying about each year. Like you have to skip, I would say you get one out of every 15 that come your way. Like, and I, unfortunately, as much as I'm trying to resist, I think I might have to use another one of mine for the JoJo Siwa. There is a part of me that I have been listening to it on my free time. I repeat, on my free time.
The
on
physical song?
You've been listening to the song?
I have been listening to the song in my home.
I've never heard the song.
I've heard like a clip as a bit.
For the first time, folks, it's the world debut of JoJo Siwa's song. You heard it here first on the pod.
And she's with you right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
I am in shock.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard it.
I just thought that no one of our peer group was sort of going to listen, hit
well,
play on
you
it.
You know, when you think I zig, I zag.
What's weird, too, is when I thought of music video, I just thought it was mute. I didn't think about the song attached.
Yeah, right. There's a whole song that is the soundtrack to the music video.
Remember when music videos were a bigger deal than the song itself? Very TRL days. Carson
true.
Daly.
True.
Take me back. Take me back to Hillary Duff having that shirt that says everything is bigger in Texas. That was when America was a real country.
And the belt that was like, you know, so chunky. Yeah.
Wait, there was something JoJo Siwa. I wasn't done with her. I was not done with her. Oh, I wanted to say, George, literally won't listen to new Dua Lipa. He won't listen to new Ariana Grande. He like refuses to hear any of the pop girls.
What's the strong stance?
JoJo Siwa.
And yet JoJo Siwa.
Well, you know, I mean, you're sort of leading me perfectly into like reiterating my point from before, which I didn't even plan to, which is I only believe in low and high now and no mid. And so I'm like, I'm all in on JoJo.
You're all about polarity.
I'm all about polarity. I mean, I'm like JoJo. Okay. She's wearing a sequined unitard and doing like sort of aggressively violent lesbian gyrating on a CGI island and singing a song that was written in 2012 for Miley Cyrus and she rejected it. Then they gave it to JoJo and then JoJo said, I went into the studio and said, we're going to invent a new genre called gay pop. Literally singing a song that was written
with a song that was already written.
2012 for Miley Cyrus. I'm like, I'm sorry, but that is way more fun to me than a new Jack Antonoff produced single.
I hear you. It's like when Debbie Ryan, the interview where she's like, I walked right into that office and I said, we're going to make history. love that clip.
No, that's really
funny.
It
is sort of similar.
I think I'm taking a break from the middle. And I'm not saying I'm never going to go back to it, but I'm like, I'm literally like, unless I'm either going to Film Forum and seeing La Chimera, or I am at home watching on YouTube the JoJo Siwa music video on a loop. And that's all I can handle at this stage of my life.
And when you're doing either thing, like when you're, you know, watching, you know, slow cinema at, you know, Vidiots or wherever, are you having like foie gras and martinis? And then when you're watching JoJo Siwa, are you like eating a bucket of KFC?
So this is an interesting, okay, thank you for asking that. Brilliant.
I want to know if your lifestyle is high and low. Yes.
Yeah, I want to know how deep this thing goes.
I actually think I am all in on the middle for food.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
El Pan Quotidian all the way.
For food, I'm thinking artisanal tacos and I'm thinking an elevated burger. That's where I am food-wise.
Yeah.
I don't want Cap'n Crunch and I don't want like molecular gastronomy. I want down the middle.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's
I can respect that.
I really love down my the middle.
And that's probably better on the like the gastro track.
Oh, it's so good on the system.
Oh, which,
you know, as the older we get, something we need
it's
to be aware
really
of.
Really important. Really, really important.
Oh, honey, I'm having the best BMs of my life.
I'm, of course, 19, so not something I have to worry about. But
not something I have to worry about, but needless to say, my BMs are to die for.
They are gorgeous. I hate when the doctor asks how they are.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, do you?
I say, welcome to my
how
life.
How are they? I brought one.
Oh, I mean, not to, I will tell the story.
Okay.
One time I went to the doctor,
right?
Because I was having stomach issues, and they were like, okay, we're going to need a stool sample. And I was like, okay, so where should I go do that? And she was like, now?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, so I'm the weird one.
Kenya? But that's also like,
you're
really
asking for my stool.
That you're just like ready to go.
No, I was. I think she was freaked out that I was ready to go. Like, she was like, no, this, you take it home. You like, when you need to, you put it in here.
I would need, one time I went to camp and didn't go to the bathroom for 3 weeks because of just sheer anxiety. So it would take me some time.
Wow. Well, I was ready to go right there and she was freaked out and judgmental.
She dropped her pants in front of her. That's why.
It's almost like you're being punished for being too high achieving.
It was she was literally seeing me be a star and she said, dim your light, sweetie.
That's what that movie that's what that movie Pearl is about.
Exactly what that movie Pearl is about. Should we get into our topic?
Yes, I actually would love to get into this topic because this is a really, really good topic to me. So Hannah, I would love to know, and in fact, we would like to know if I can be so bold as to
speak for me.
What is your topic today and what is straight about it?
I've been thinking a lot about, I grew up in New York City and then I moved to the suburbs of Philly and like preppy culture was such a thing. Like I'm talking not the one popped collar, but the popped collar on top of the popped collar, the ribbon in the side pony, the denim skirt and the Laguna Beach of it all.
Yes.
Yeah.
And nothing felt straighter to me. I was like, there's not a queer person in sight on Laguna Beach.
Literally.
At least that's not going to make the cut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Todd was always in the background.
They're in the dailies, but they got chopped.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Todd was a glorified extra.
But I think specifically at the like 2006, preppy surfer combo.
Yes.
Was an interesting and hateful uniform.
100%. Everyone, it felt like little boxes on the hillside, but you know. very like everyone looking the exact same, acting the exact same.
Yes. Well,
and when
also,
I moved from New York to there, I was like, oh, this is the culture. And this is like, you conform, you know, everyone looks exactly the same. And then I remember I bought like red boots at a thrift store and promptly stopped wearing them because they didn't fit in with the kind of straight middle school culture, elementary school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I was just born. I was just being born then. Actually, yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm just out of the womb. I love that I backtracked to be like, I could be any age. I'll never tell.
I really was like, I guess I actually don't know.
It was elementary, middle, high school, college, actually.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was a Montessori everything.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
Oh, did you go to Montessori for college?
That's correct. I went to Montessori College of Phoenix. No, but I remember moving to that town and feeling like, oh, okay, we kind of got to all be tight-lipped about who we're all going to look the same. And therefore, yes. I don't know anything about anybody.
100%. I had that exact experience. I mean, I moved to America when I was in second grade and then lived in the suburbs of New Jersey from second grade to eighth grade. And then my family moved back to Greece. But that period, second grade to eighth grade in the early 2000s in suburban New Jersey, it was like, I would say the spectrum was Abercrombie on one end and Hollister on the other.
Yeah.
And you were not allowed to know about things that existed on either side of the, like, it's
totally
the whole world. It's like how, you know, we have Democrats and Republicans and you're not allowed to question the two-party system.
Right.
That's sort of what Hollister and Abercrombie was when
we were
young.
What's gross about it as well is you're around it enough so you want to then be, you want to be a part of the culture. I remember walking into Hollister and someone asked if I wanted to work there and I was beside myself with joy.
When that happened to me as well. And the fact I actually need
weird,
to bring
I thought it
up.
Only ever happened to me.
No, I actually had to bring it up because I'm like, that still matters. Like
it still matters. Wait, do you remember the shirtless guys with more cologne, like dripping in cologne?
Well, I remember.
So wet
the shirtless
outside
guys.
The store.
Well, if you went to the store in New York, there were literally like six guys.
But I would argue that's not straight. At all. That felt very queer-coded to me.
The guys.
But they were very straight, the guys.
But it's the queer-codedness. It's that little dance where it's like, but you can't, as a man, think this is hot. Like
that's true. You know what it reminds me of, though? Like, going to gay bars and the guys that are dancing a lot of times are straight.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're infiltrating. Like, what are you doing here?
I had a freaky feeling last night. Last night, I went to the Eagle.
Love that place.
Love the Eagle to death. And, like, the bartenders are, like, wearing, like, little underwear and like little cut off flannel shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like I was like, ooh, like so hot, so sexy.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh my God, I'm at a Hooters. Like I'm a straight guy at a Hooters.
You're
like,
at a Hooters.
Ogling. I'm like, this is so disgusting of me.
Totally. I've noticed in LA specifically when I go to, I don't want to say straight bars, but when I go to bars that aren't gay bars, I don't get hit on at all until last call when like a drunk guy comes up to me and is like, hey, you're tall. And I was like, wait, I just talked to you. And then I go to a gay bar and all these straight men approach me and I'm like, what are you doing here? That's not what this is for.
Interesting.
Get out of my way. But those are the same guys that worked at Hollister. To
you know,
bring
it's
it full
interesting.
Circle.
For so long, like sort of like annoying gay guys would complain about straight women at gay bars. They'd be like, ugh, bachelorette parties, straight women, blah, blah. Well, guess what, sweetheart? Now we have straight men there too.
Well, yeah. And also, yeah, is a bi woman allowed at a gay bar? I think yes.
I mean,
I think all women.
Anyone's allowed at a gay bar.
Is a bi woman allowed at a gay bar? If she's Miley Cyrus.
100%. My thing is if you're going to be weird and creepy and give off like, you know, frankly, like polo in the bar still.
Yeah.
Like we're still wearing the polo. I dated someone who wore a lot of like salmon and khaki.
Yes.
And it was really triggering to that 2006
yes.
to 2010 of my life.
And let's talk about it. I want to really go into details about the visual semiotics
yes.
of this world, because it is something that I feel like we almost still have not fully processed. Just the fact that there were fully guys that were, by all counts, mask presenting, that were wearing a double popped collar where one was light pink and one was baby blue.
That's true. It was pastels. Salmon's.
It was pastels.
Yeah.
And a
but
ribbon
it was confusing
belt.
Because that was what was on top, but then it would be cargo shorts on the bottom.
That's true. It was a little a party on top. And then, of course, remember, it's casual.
Yeah, I'm still a man. I'm wearing cargo shorts.
And it's interesting, the shirt on the shirt on the shirt, because layering was huge. It didn't matter the weather. And I would wear the little jean skirt and then the thick UGG.
Yeah.
I'm not talking the thin, skinny UGG. I'm talking the one that looked like a full bear on each leg.
Mm-hmm.
That would chonk around, like, and everyone's chonking around the school halls.
There was a lot of playing with proportions.
Yes. Yes. A lot of three-quarter sleeves.
Yes.
And a lot of three-quarter leg. A lot of Bermuda short and
caprice.
I used to
think I guess you would call it, is it a baseball shirt? Like three-quarter sleeve t-shirt on a guy? Like that?
The sambas of shirts.
Yes. I was like, wow, that's the hottest possible thing a guy can wear.
Yes. And what? And then puka shell, of course.
And of course.
Or some sort of necklace that's of the shell varietal.
This, I'm trying to like pinpoint why it felt like, I'm sort of like visually recounting it, it feels threatening. I feel fear.
Me too.
Imagining this man. But is it actually like, if someone wore that, like if you removed it from the context, is it a scary look or is it like fashion-y at all?
I mean, I think, well, first of all, it's certainly, I think the people who made it fashion-y were sort of like, I mean, imagine like Pharrell during that era, like wearing like a polo and chunky glasses and like a hat and plaid, like mixing and matching in a way that felt at that time fresh or something. In terms of whether it's threatening, to me, at the most basic level, it's threatening because it evokes a country club, which evokes Republicans, which evokes like mass death.
Sure.
It makes me think, I think it just reminds me of a lot of bullies at that time that were very much, and country club and swim team and like yoked and spooky. Mm-hmm. It was just a little spooky. And a lot of those people kind of like are still doing it
and
now.
And frat. Like
didn't
frat.
Leave. And their kids are going to kind of be the new version of that.
Yeah.
You know?
I have this thing where I actually really do like preppy stuff.
Okay.
But it's tough because I don't want to... how do you do it with wink? How do you do it with enough wink where you're like, well, I'm playing with it. I'm not a believer.
I think it's precisely that. Like I have like a vintage Abercrombie like polo shirt, but it's like made of, it's like knit and like cable nitty, and then I'll wear it with like a cool different pant or something. I'm talking this full uniform, you know?
But you know what though? This is what's scary for me is that actually the straight guys are also doing it with wink. And then you're like, I can't win. This like
that's true.
Don't you think? Like it's the entire point of wearing all pastels and ribbon belts is almost being like, look how faggy I'm dressed. and yet I could get violent at any second.
Yeah.
There's a violence around it.
Yeah. There's a violence around it. Well, it's sort of like, are you going to say something to me? Are you going to talk about my pants? Because I'll beat you up.
It's very golf course.
Yeah.
Which to me is one of the most violent places.
Well, it's quite... golf is literally colonialism at a smaller scale.
100%. Yeah. So I guess that's, you know... And then that feels scary and straight to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you're so right to point to the scariness as a fundamental element.
Yes.
There is a threat.
And looking back, you know, there are... points in my life where and fashion things that we've returned to and recycled that I'm thrilled about. For a minute I was like, I don't know about low rise, and now I'm actually very much on the low rise train.
Oh wow.
I've come back around to it because I'm like, I don't know, I like showing off a little hip.
Sure.
But I would never wish this on my worst enemy for this to, and frankly it is making a resurgence because Hollisters are still open, Abercrombies are still open, and I went into one recently just to kind of like, I don't know, like re-traumatize myself.
Of course.
And it was just as fresh as sophomore year.
I mean, I have been hearing from multiple...
And no one asked me to work there, which was offensive.
I have been hearing... Yeah, well, if all of us go to Abercrombie now, they'd be like, are you interested in being senior manager like the franchise?
Wait. Okay, there's prep, and this is another thing that's so classist of preppiness, was there was your Hollister, your Abercrombie, which I couldn't really afford. Mm-hmm. And then there was your Aeropostale.
Yes. And American Eagle.
An American Eagle, which frankly you'd get shade for.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And so that's also the evil of it.
But I do love like being a middle schooler and being like having pretend taste, like being
that's
really to be like, yes, it is Aeropostale, but it actually kind of works.
Oh,
like,
100%.
Being a bitch about mall stores is so funny.
Well, really, like the reason I buy clothes at malls is the lighting in the dressing room. And Hollister did have that down to a science. I looked like I had, and you
well,
know
you were
what, Hollister,
them in the dark.
Did you guys remember that they had the live stream of the beach at all times?
Yeah.
Maybe like Laguna, 4 p.m. And it would just be like the waves. And I go into the dressing room and I would feel like the hottest shit in the world.
Yeah.
And that lighting was everything. And Aeropostale was blinding. Mm-hmm. And it was... really, and a lot of graphic. And I don't think that had anything to do with the clothes, but I do think there's a prep hierarchy.
Of course.
Yeah.
Now, here's something that complicates this theory.
Okay.
Two words. J. Crew.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because J. Crew was such a...
First word, J.
Second word...
I thought you were going to say low, and I was like, did she wear a lot of preppy stuff and this is me now?
No one knows because no one has seen it.
No, truly.
I have, which is crazy. Oh. Yeah.
Wow, that's...
Yeah. I actually have an idea for J.Lo for her next era is she should fully wear head-to-toe Abercrombie and Hollister. That would get people talking.
Yeah, that J-Lo, would turn heads.
J.Lo with a side ponytail with a ribbon...
J-Lo playing lacrosse.
J-Lo playing lacrosse, side ponytail, green and pink ribbon, two popped collars, skirt with pleats.
Oh, I mean, she should literally enroll.
Green and pink. Green and pink. Yes.
She should enroll in a middle school.
Only Lily Pulitzer from now on.
And literally go to class.
Monogrammed backpack.
And like run late to class.
L.L. Bean backpack.
It's never been kissed of 50.
Yeah.
And she should, and that would get so much press.
Yeah.
And her report card would come out and we'd be like, oh my God, did you see J-Lo's report card?
Yeah, why don't you try that instead of sinking $20 million of your own dollars into a movie for once.
Public schools are free, J-Lo.
Yeah.
Just go to middle school again.
Oh, I love that.
Just grab a squash ball and a lacrosse. What is it? A racket? Basket? A lacrosse basket? And see me going like this. This is so lax.
That's so lax.
Yeah. It's also a hand job. Pepper grinder.
I'm like, oh no, there's video of me doing this. I'm ruined. Wow.
Okay, so you said J. Crew.
Oh yeah.
Okay. What do you mean?
I mean that
what the fuck are you talking
about? Somehow against
what the hell's happening?
You're sounding like my grandma.
Don't get him started on that.
I did not know how much you hated your grandma.
No, it's like I don't feel hatred. It's just like when she talks to me, I get annoyed. She can do what she wants to do and I'll do what I want to do. It's just like when she wants me to come talk to her, I'm like, fuck you.
I'll send you a goddamn card.
Yeah.
You can read my words.
No, you feel you feel about her the way I feel about sort of middle brow pop stars. You're like, you do your thing. I will not be tuning in and I will not be downloading.
The only
Apple
difference
single.
Is this is blood. Yeah. And those are, you know, strangers entirely. Okay. Sorry.
Okay. J. Crew. To me, it's a sort of outlier, I guess, in the sense that somehow it has stood that it has been able to evolve along with the times during all these years. Like
that's true.
Because you would think, if anything, J. Crew was sort of like one of the biggest players in the prep movement, and
J. Crew is very Charlotte York.
It's I think the difference is it's more actually adult. For adults.
Oh, okay, you're right. It's actually for adults,
and that's where it gets complicated.
But what scares me about even J. Crew is the shapelessness of it all, which is like preppy clothes are. They're eliminating all ass. They like all the pants are boxy. Everything feels boxy, and that also feels violent to me.
But what about like the skirt? Because the thing with preppy is like it also is difficult to describe whether or not it's slutty. Because on the one hand, it's so conservative.
So
on the one hand, it's so conservative. On the other hand, if you remember during that era, the skirts were like 2 inches long.
That's very true.
Yeah. I mean, like J. Crew preppy, you could say is like fetish wear, of course, because it's like I'm pretending there's not a body under here,
100%.
But actually I'm fucking horny as hell.
No, there's like Cruel Intentions prep that's like horny,
yeah,
or like Gossip Girl prep, which is like throw a tie on an otherwise Alfred from Urban Outfitters. You know what I mean? And
yeah, it's prep. Yeah.
But with J. Crew, it does feel. I know this because my cousin has like a real job.
Oh,
what I do is nothing, is make believe. But she like audits for NBC and like would give me her clothes. I'd inherit all her like corporate, like J. Crew clothes. Mm-hmm. And I would feel, I just feel like I'd lose all my form when I put it on. I'd feel like I'd be perceived differently at cafes. They were like, oh, she's a working woman. You know, she's out there in the corporate scene. She's doing deals. She's the Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
But I guess that's true. I guess it's like J. Crew is literally business casual. And then Abercrombie and Hollister are sort of like, fucking with business casual. They're like, what if business casual
Anarchy.
Was on the beach? Yeah. So in that sense, they're so punk rock.
Okay. I have one thing I want to do and then we should end.
Okay.
But I have, George, you mentioned that those stores are sort of like Democrat and Republican.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what are the political parties of all the stores in a mall?
Ooh.
Well, here's what I'll say, actually. So you would think, between Abercrombie and Hollister, Abercrombie would be Republican, Hollister would be Democrat, because Hollister is California and Abercrombie is country club. I would say that's not the case. I think Hollister is Orange County Republican.
Absolutely.
It's California Republicans. And I think Abercrombie is like sort of Westchester neoliberal vote blue no matter who Democrats.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I went to Beverly Hills the other day and had the spook of my life. And I think the further that direction you go, Orange County, Laguna, all that. And I'm sort of assuming on a compass, on a map, that they're in the same area, I think. It's,
I mean, sounds
they're
right
probably
to me.
Northwest. but I do, I think it's deeply Republican there. I also think California is like its own little country. Like our little hub is Democrat, but then you go to Bakersfield, and then you go to like any beach, and it's really,
People keep saying words about like California places, and I just have to be like,
I did that to you earlier. I'm like, but you got Idlewild, and you got Sea Ranch, and you got Joshua Tree.
But I just go, yes.
And you lied straight to my face, and you went, love it there.
I really think
that I grew up there. I love those places.
Sam, I'm so excited for you to learn about all this, because I think I learned more during my 6 years in the Bay Area, just in terms of like geography and America, than I have my entire life. California literally is its own country with its own culture. Sometimes I'm like, there are more differences between California and the rest of America than there are between America and Europe.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
Wow.
What about a sharper image? Is that Republican? And of
sharper
course, that's,
image,
you know,
sharper
not been
image
for 15
is
years.
Like Andrew Yang.
Exactly.
Like, it's
exactly.
Like, I'm going to change everything. Yeah. But it really, you're like,
it's kind of Theranos.
Well, it's like, exactly. It's like, I'm going to change everything with no actual goal in sight and with no proprietary technology. Like, I'm just sort of going to throw shit
is
at the
Is that kind
wall.
Of Democrat then?
Yeah. It's a specific
it's
type of Democrat.
It's technocrat. Yeah.
It's the all talk.
But I do think Aeropostale is like the Green Party.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
American.
I think Charlotte Russe is undecided.
What is the most leftist, radical left store?
Patagonia. Ben and Jerry's.
Well, so
that's true.
Ben and Jerry's. But I sort of think Patagonia, I'm like, it's almost libertarian or something. Like, it's like people that are like back.
You know
in
what's
the
Lululemon's the other way.
Yeah, Lululemon.
Most Republican.
That owner, that guy is a fucking psycho.
I'm really trying to think. Okay, what is a store? I mean, Hot Topic is anarchy.
Right. Hot Topic is anarchy, but Hot Topic
Spencer's
is anarchy.
Gifts?
Spencer's Gifts is the most left leaning.
Yeah, it definitely. That person has so many bumper stickers.
Yeah, I'll say this. You know,
sex positive.
You know who I'll trust
sex
with
sex positive.
Anything?
Science is real. You know, all of it.
That's great.
Auntie Anne's Pretzels. I'm telling you, she is doing the reading every election. She does not have. She is not committed to any party, because each election she's going to read the newspaper and she's going to decide for herself.
Right. She's a Reagan Republican.
Yeah. That being said, she did become like conspiratorial during the pandemic.
Oh, she's on Facebook 24/7. Don't get me wrong. And by the way, when I say newspaper, I mean posts on Facebook groups.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, she's absolutely got an active Facebook. Yeah.
WhatsApp memes that have like headlines as though they're a real article, but it's just someone made them on their phone.
It's scary stuff out there.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a single other. I haven't been to a mall in so. Oh, what about a Zara?
Well, Zara is European, so it's sort of like, here's what a Zara is. For American standards, it's left wing, but for European standards, it's centrist. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like Zara is like Trudeau.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Wait, I unfortunately, I'm like, we should do our final segment.
I know, we have to do our final segment.
Which is so sad, because we could chat forever.
It's incredibly sad, actually, and I will be thinking about it for months.
But you have to go perform in Wicked in Times Square.
That's right.
You're right there. We got to let you get to your call.
Yeah, you got
to
warm that voice up.
That's an Elphaba I've ever heard.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
Okay, Hannah, okay. Our final segment is called Shoutouts. And in this segment, we pay homage to the grand straight tradition of the radio shoutout. Mm. You know, imagine it's 2001 and you're in Times Square for TRL shouting out to your squad back home. But about anything that you enjoy, people, places, things, ideas, we will go first and then you will go.
Okay. And kind of a straight thing.
It can be whatever, really.
It can
really.
Be whatever.
Okay.
I just thought of one that's on theme. Can I go?
Oh, please.
Okay, I just thought of this, so bear with me. What's up, Times Square? That's right. Happy New Year. 2025 is going to be our year, babe. I want to give a shout out to Vampire Weekend talking about preppiness. I realized we didn't even mention them in our big discussion on preppiness. I want to say Vampire Weekend, you know, we've had our ups, we've had our downs. I've had my, you know, sort of like contrarian era where I thought you were lame, and then I've had my assimilationist era where I really liked you. But ultimately, you show up every time with versions of the same exact songs with almost identical lyrics, and I eat it up every time. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Somehow, against all odds, you have stood the test of time. You evoke such a feeling, such a specific place and time. And sometimes that's all I need to be comforted. I don't need Bjork. I don't need someone to be mixing jazz and classical. I just need someone to be going, you know, Diane Young, and then just sort of that, like forever, ad nauseum. So thank you, Ezra Koenig, and thank you, Vampire Weekend, for everything. And shout out to Columbia University. Woo!
Woo! That is such a beautiful shout out, and I couldn't agree more. I really, you know, every time I'm like, are they going to pull it off? And I'm like, you know, there is some taste here. Mm-hmm. There is some undeniable taste here. And we like to write them off, oh, whatever, 2010 or whatever. And it's like, no. They're going to be around forever. Okay, I am ready. What's up, everyone around the globe, from sea to shining sea? I want to give a huge shout out to the burrito that I had this morning. I had a burrito around 11:30-ish, and it was so damn good. And I have been going to this place that is a 20-minute walk from my current apartment, and I have been loving it. And it makes me feel like, you know what? Moving is difficult, but life finds a way. And I have my spot, and I crave it, and I say, it's the weekend. That means I get to have my burrito. And so I am saying, you know, yes, it's different. And yes, I'm not the same person I was 6 months ago, but there is a future for me. Maybe in California, maybe in anywhere else in the world. No one knows what the future holds. XOXO, Sam.
Woo! And try again. What's up? I want to give a shout out, as we previously mentioned, to the film Never Been Kissed, which I just rewatched in honor of, you know, talking about straight culture, the fact that she was, you know, flirting with her teacher and we were all like, no problems there. And then they went to prom and the budget was anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million. I love high school films with infinite budgets. I want to give a shout out to the, I don't know, old school rom-coms that I really miss, because now it's kind of getting Anyone But You'd.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of vocal fry, and I don't need that in that landscape. So shout out to that film, and thanks, Drew, for all that you're doing.
Woo!
Wow.
Wow, she has done a lot for us.
Yeah.
She has. Well, Hannah, this has been an absolute delight.
This was so fun.
Yeah, thanks for doing it.
I can't wait to work at Hollister together.
I know.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to be dripping in cologne. And to make freshmen's hopes and dreams come true by offering them a position.
Yeah. damn, that would make them feel so good.
Can you imagine if we were all managers at Hollister? That would be an all-time
And we were spotting teens and being like, you've got what it takes.
Which sounds, yeah, that's predatorial.
That's predatorial.
Let's just say I have a couple of emails from being there myself.
All right. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Podcast ends now. Want more? Subscribe to our Patreon for 2 extra episodes a month, Discord access, and more by heading to patreon.com/Stradiolab.
And for all our visual learners, free full-length video episodes are available on our YouTube.
Now get back to work. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection. Obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.